Holy Spirit, just come right now. Lord God, we just pray that you create this place for us to meet you. We pray that you give us ears to hear and eyes to see of what you have to say, Lord God. Lord God, we bless Pastor Jeff from the crown of his head to the sole of his feet, and we pray your living waters be poured out among him. God, I just pray your love would just fill him right now. Lord God, if there is any plans of the enemy to attack, and we cancel them out in the name and authority of Jesus Christ right now. They have no place here. Lord God, we just pray that we come in full expectation of what you want to do today, Lord God. Holy Spirit, I just pray you pour out in this place, pour out on Pastor Jeff, and you give him the words to say. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Mary. I want to confess to you that I am a TV-aholic. I like my shows. We'll watch a lot of them, and we DVR everything, and generally don't get to most things until the weekend. And so my wife and I were binging this week, and one of our shows is The Resident. I don't know if you guys watch the show, but there's like 90 zillion medical shows out there. This is one of them. And this very fascinating thing happened this week. It was their Halloween special, and this guy dies. They put him in a body bag, and then all of a sudden he sits up. And this is the nurse over here freaking out because the dead person has now come back to life. There's a medical term for this. It's called Lazarus syndrome in relation to the story from Jesus raising Lazarus from the dead. And so he just sits up behind them, and the guy quietly, who is having a conversation with the three that you were just seeing there, goes, why is your dead person alive? You might want to go take care of that. And it got me thinking, I think a lot of times we're walking around this planet like a dead person in a body bag. And we weren't meant to live that way. Imagine that they just left him there in the body bag. Because I don't know if you've ever seen a body bag before. I have friends who have shown me these things. You got to unzip it from the outside, right? You can't unzip it from the inside. You got to unzip it from the outside. So imagine they just left him there, and he just had to go about his business in the body bag. That would be a terrible life, would it not? It would be constricting. It would be constraining. It would start to smell after a while. We need a little help. And I believe the God of your soul and mine wants to unzip that body bag and give us life. And so we've been looking at our values here at Living Christ Church. We have four of them that we've chosen as a church. The first one is, I've said it before, we will love Nyack. That we believe God loves everyone who works, lives, and plays in the greater Nyack area. That the church really has nothing to do with the four walls that you're sitting around. The church is you, the people. And you weren't meant to stay here. You came to worship, but you're meant to live life in community and in this neighborhood and in this town. And so we're supposed to, because of the love of Christ, love on the community in which we live in. We want to sit and listen to what God has to say to us. We don't want to just do whatever we feel like. We want to listen to what God has to say to us. That a majority of prayer is really listening, not speaking. And so last week we talked about listening to God, that we hear from God through his word and through his spirit. And oftentimes he speaks to us in six different ways. And you can go back and listen to that sermon online if you would like. This morning we're talking about we will change through the work of the Holy Spirit. And if we're honest, most of us don't like that big C word, change. We went back and forth when we were coming up with these values. Do we use that? Do we use transform? Do we use metamorphosize? What do we use? Because oftentimes that word change, if we're honest, like, we really don't want to change. But we believe that God changes us, that everybody has a starting point when they come to Living Christ Church, but that's just your starting point. And so we flesh it out this way. We believe that Jesus changes everyone through the power and presence of his Holy Spirit. We will choose in to this ongoing process, believing that every change that God initiates in us is good. And so we do messy here at Living Christ Church. I had somebody at the door a couple weeks ago say, you know what I like about coming here? not everybody's got all their stuff together. I've met a lot of messy people here. Good. That's what we want. I don't know about you, but I don't like facade. I don't like fake. I don't like, hey, how you doing? Fine. When we feel like crap on the inside. That's not what God wants. God wants to change that, transform that. And we do that together. And so we want to do messy here. But we don't want to stay in the mess. We believe that God wants to transform the mess and make it magical or magnificent or whatever great word that you want to use there going forward. So we come to Living Christ Church in all different points along the journey, and we want to embrace this. We don't expect that everybody's got this all figured out. I don't expect that all of you have gone to Bible school and understand everything about this book. I've gone to Bible school and seminary, and I don't know everything about this book, and it will probably take me one day longer than eternity to figure it all out, and I'm okay with that, and I hope you are too. But we believe that God does not want any of us to stay at that point of messy. He wants to move and transform us, and every change that he initiates is a good change, and so we want to embrace the good change this morning. And so as we continue this morning, I want us to look at Ephesians chapter 2. We're actually going to, I'm going to break my rule this morning. Generally, when I preach from one passage. And the reason I do that is because on Monday morning, it's easier for most people to remember one passage than six. I don't want to give you what I call spiritual whiplash, where you wake up on Monday morning and go, wait, what did he talk about? What verse did he use? So we generally use one passage here, because all scripture is God-breathed and useful for teaching, correcting, and training in righteousness. But I'm going to break my own rule and use two this morning. And it's basically because I really love the book of Ephesians. In my mind, it's kind of the Cliff Note version of Romans. And so there's just a lot of really, really good stuff in that. So I'm going to start in Ephesians chapter 2 this morning. It is page 947 on the Pew Bibles in front of you, or if you have your own Bible that you brought with you, or you're on your phone, or whatever you need to do to find Ephesians chapter 2. If you could join me there, that would be great. We're going to look at the first 10 verses this morning in light of what I've already said to you. And this is what it says in Ephesians chapter 2, starting in verse 1. As for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins, in which you used to live when you followed the ways of the world and of the ruler of the kingdom of this air, the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. All of us also lived among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of our flesh and following the desires and thoughts. Like the rest, we were by nature deserving of wrath, but because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in our transgressions. It is by grace you have been saved. And God raised us up with Christ and seated us in him, with him, in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus, in order that in the coming age he might show the incomparable riches of his grace expressed in the kindness to us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not from yourselves. It is a gift from God, not by works, so that no one can boast, for we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. Whew. Man, I don't know about you, if you were able to take that all in, but that's a good word this morning. And so I just want to highlight a bunch of these things, because there's so many little nuggets here in this passage of Scripture that I want us to fully comprehend and understand so that we leave here this morning a little bit changed. And the first is, he says here in verses 4 and 5, because of his love, we were made alive by his grace. And notice this starts with God. The difference between Christianity and every other belief system on planet Earth is Christ said, I'm going to do something for you. I'm going to change you. I'm going to transform you. Every other belief system puts the onus on me. There's something I have to do to get to God. And I don't know about you, but the more I try, the more I fail. And so this speaks so profoundly to me that, yes, I've lived this. I've tried to be a good person. I can't do it on my own. I need external help. And God, in his crazy love, made us alive, transformed us, took us from that old life, and wants to make us new. And he did it because he's gracious, not because he's the meanie up on his throne, treating us like the naughty and nice list. He loves us and desires a relationship with us. So it continues, seated with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus. Just think about that for a second. It doesn't say before the throne. It doesn't say something you have to work towards. You're literally seated with him. Positionally, you are seated with the God of the universe. You have a chair, a seat at the table of God. You're seated with him. All right, we'll keep going. Some of you aren't there yet. It's all right. It's all good. Our founder, the founder of the Christian Mission Alliance, put it this way. My passion for this movement is that we would live moment by moment out of our position of being seated with Christ in the heavenly realms. Moment by moment, comprehending and understanding that you are seated with Christ in the heavenly realms. That is good news. He goes on here. Grace, the first time it's listed here. I just want to understand, this is grace. It's nothing to do of yourselves. This is a complete gift. It's a complete gift. There's literally nothing you can do to get yourself to God. He did it all for us. All we have to do is yield to him. The great orator who literally sacrificed his life, Dietrich Bonhoeffer, put it this way, adherence to Christ. That as we adhere to him, he transforms us into how he really sees us as righteous beings. It goes on to say, not by any works, so that you can boast. You can say, hey, look at me, look how good I am. God did it all for us. Every good work that happens in you, God is doing that. He wants to flesh all that out in you. So that there's literally, I can be good for a moment, but I can't be good for eternity. At some point, I'm going to fall on my face again and again and again. And God said, let me do this, so that I can boast in you. For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works. And some of us stop right there. All right, so I'm just going to do good works so that the love that God has lavished on me can, like, I can somehow prove to God that I understand and comprehend that he loves me. So I'm just going to work really, really, really hard to help God know that I understand his love. And Paul is telling us here, hold on a second. Every good work that God wants to produce in you, he prepared in advance for you to do. You don't have to prove yourself to God. You need to let God prove himself to you. It's a completely different realm. And some of us are exhausted in our relationship with God because we're working too hard. We're working and working and working and working and working and being good, and we just need to stop and push pause and rest in him. You will never, ever, ever hear a story about me doing this. This is skydiving. This will never happen unless somebody drags me onto a plane and throws me out. It will not happen. There is nothing inside of me that goes, hey, that sounds like a great idea. But the staff, we were at a conference this week, our district conference, and the speaker on Tuesday night was Dr. David Hearn, who's the president of our Christian Mission Alliance group in Canada, and he was telling us his experience of skydiving. He's going on and on about how amazing it was, and the more he talked about it, the more I felt like I was going to throw up in the pew. Like, there's just nothing. I know some of you, you're like, yes, sign me up. Some of you have done this, and you're like, yes, no. that for me? Generally, the first time you go, you have to go in tandem. So you're locked into the person who knows what they're doing. And Dr. David Hearn was telling us how he got strapped in, and he looked at the instructor, and he was like, "Hey, I'm taking all your junk with me out of the plane." And the instructor said, "And I'm taking all of your liabilities." And right before they jumped out of the plane, he said, "Listen, before we jump out of the plane, I want you to rest your head on my shoulder." Some of you are nodding because you've done this. Good on you. Rest your head on me. He said, "Why?" And he said, "Generally, when we jump out of the plane for the first time, our thought and process is to look down. And looking down from 10,000 feet can be terrifying, even if you don't think you're afraid of heights. Immediately, everything inside of you gets sucked up into your chest, and you start freaking out. And I don't want you freaking out on me, so rest your head in my chest, my shoulder." And so you see this woman, arms crossed, head back. Some of us are going through life and we're looking down. And we are distracted and in fear and focusing on the complete wrong thing. You won't make it down to the ground sane until you rest your head on the Father's shoulder. Amen? So let's flip over to Ephesians 5. Ephesians 5. If you've never read through the book of Ephesians, I'd really encourage you to. There's so many good nuggets. I could just go on and on and on. I say this about pretty much every book. This is my favorite book. In the first 8 verses, Paul is talking about all the things that God wants to remove from us. You can go back and read those later. And all those things have no place in the kingdom of God. He doesn't want any of those in us, around us, or through us. He wants only the good stuff for us. And so go to verse 8, and we're going to read down to verse 20 here. Verse 8, we're going to read down to verse 20. And it says, "For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Live as children of light. For the fruit of light consists of all goodness, righteousness, and truth. And find out what pleases the Lord. Have nothing to do with the fruitless deeds of darkness, but rather expose them. For it is shameful even to mention what the disobedient do in secret. But everything exposed by the light becomes visible, and everything that is illuminated becomes a light. That is why it said, 'Wake up, O sleeper, rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you.' Be very careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. Do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another with psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit. Sing and make music in your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks to God the Father for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ." Amen. He goes on here, and I just want to highlight a couple of these things. For you were once darkness. We're living in that body bag where we can't see. But now you are light if you have Jesus in your life. So live as children of light. Don't live in the darkness anymore. Don't bring the darkness back on you. Stay in the light. Light equals goodness and righteousness and truth and every good thing that comes from God. So let him be light in you so that you literally illumine the world. And this is, I worked at a camp when I was in high school, and the director of the camp would walk into the guy's staff building, and he would scream this at the top of his lungs: "Wake up, O sleeper, rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you." And for the longest time, I hated this passage of scripture. Hated it. I'm like, "Shut up, I'm sleeping." But God wants to wake us up. He wants to rise us up. He wants to shine on us. He doesn't want you like an extinguished lamp or a shut-off light bulb. He literally wants to light the world through you, and we should let him. Chuck Davis, in his book, The Bold Christian, says this: Satan is scared to death that we will find out who we are and start behaving like we should. Come on. Let me read it again. Satan is scared to death that we will find out who we are and start behaving like we should. And please understand that behaving like we should is yielding to Christ so that he can shine through us. Right? It's not about being good. It's about him being good through us. But instead, we let the enemy of our soul scare us when we are in fact seated with Christ in the heavenly realms. And it says, everything was placed under Christ's feet. So guess what? Everything that the enemy tries to throw at you has literally been placed under your feet. So you, with your own voice, can tell the enemy, speak to the hand, talk to the cheek, because the face don't want to listen. You don't have to respond to the enemy of your soul. You can tell him to shut his mouth, and you can listen to God and how God really sees you. Be wise. Don't be unwise. This is a tiny little nugget in here, and I think sometimes we maybe want to rush right through it to the next thing. But the lack of wisdom leads to ignorance and wrong living. And if the God of the universe wants to give you wisdom, I don't know about you, but I will take it. I'll take it. So make the most of every opportunity. So when God is doing all that good stuff in you, sit, bask, receive it, so that he changes you from the inside out. Understand what the Lord is, Lord's will is. And then this, in our doctrinal statement, we maybe sometimes lean heavily on verse 18, but there's so much nuggets of truth here. Do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Holy Spirit. And there's some comparing contrast here, right? Alcohol is a depressant. So it depresses your judgment, wisdom, and self-control. And please understand, I'm not saying that alcohol is terrible. It's when you allow it to control you. Because when you get to a place of allowing it to control you, your judgment, your wisdom, your self-control is impaired. Instead, allow the Holy Spirit to control you, because what he wants to do is awaken every aspect of God's power in your life. Every single aspect of his power in your life, he wants to awaken. And there's some little nuances here in this phrase, be filled. It's in the passive voice, which means you have to receive it. You can't manufacture it. Some people try, but it needs to be received. And then it's continual. So it's this concept of being filled and 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 being filled. And allowing God to fill us. And then the outcome leads us to focus on God, to speak with heavenly words to one another. So the outcome of the Holy Spirit in our life connects us here and helps us connect here, fulfilling the greatest commandment, love God, love others. See how that all works together? God is smart and does smart things. So how about we let him do smart things in and through us? And then it continues that leads us to a place of thankfulness. If you can experience all that and then not have some kind of aspect of gratitude, please come talk to me. We will jumpstart your heart of being thankful. We're going to talk about that the whole month of November. I'm excited. So yesterday we had work day here at the church, and we're so thankful for all of you that showed up. And I got to connect with God in a very important way for me. I really connect with God in nature. And so I know this is really strange, but I love to pull weeds. if you have some and you don't want to do, call me. And that's a little dangerous. I like to pull weeds. So we're pulling weeds all around, and we planted two of these bushes right out front here. And ironically, they're called little devils. I don't know if we should have done that, but they're cute little bushes. But there's something really cool about a plant. Right? And sometimes we just kind of process through, but a plant needs sun, and it needs carbon dioxide in order to do photosynthesis that allows it to grow, and it needs watering. All the good stuff is there, but it needs kind of an external work, right? It needs the rays of the sun, it needs carbon dioxide, and then it needs to be watered. And if you don't water it, we got a couple of these up here that are a little hurting, they start to get dried out, right? And so what happens? They need to be filled again. And then they dry out a little, and they need to be filled again. And then they dry out, and they need to be filled again. You know what happens? Every June, this plant flowers. And it was created to do that. The God who made it created it to do that. And the God who made you created you to do good works, which he prepared in advance for you to do. And he wants to do them in and through you. So I think there's a couple responses for us this morning in light of this value. Will you allow the Holy Spirit to begin a change in you, to transform you, to do that, begin to do that work? What do you need to allow the Holy Spirit to change? Maybe it's the first moment, or maybe there's something going on and you're working really, really hard trying to get rid of that one. Let's take a pause and let the Lord do his work. Bring it into the light. Or maybe you just need a fresh filling this morning. You're feeling dry and you just need to stop and ask for a fresh filling. We'll have prayer people up here during this last song who, if you want to pray through something with someone, maybe you want them to pray over you, to join you in this filling process, they would love to pray over you. But for a lot of us, that one thing or those two things are, that's how I feel on it every day. There's like 17 things that God's working on in my life. How about we let him tackle one this morning? Let's let him tackle one this morning. And so I just want to push pause here for a second, be still, and know that God is present with us. And so if we could just take the next little while and sit in a posture of allowing God to bring some stuff to our mind that maybe he wants to deal with. And so I'm just going to ask April to pray a little bit as the worship team comes forward. And let me pray for us and with us in this regard. Holy Spirit, once again, I am thankful that every good work that you want to do in us, you want to initiate. We understand that we're seated with you in the heavenlies, and so we tell the enemy of our soul, your voice is silent this morning. You don't get to speak, as Mary has already prayed. Instead, Holy Spirit, I ask that you would speak to us this morning, that you would bring to mind the things that you want to prune out of our lives, to take from us so that our light grows and is not diminished. And so we sit in a posture wanting to listen to you to reveal those to us this morning.